at JM in the AM. It's America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program. Heard of listeners sponsor digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com, on the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app. Well, are you looking for a great Hanukkah present? Yeah, I'm not talking about my book. Don't worry. We've done enough about that this morning. I'm talking about a 350-page book written by Rory Weisberg and Sarah Goldstein. It's the brand new book entitled More Food You Love That Loves You Back. And they have put this together, and our friends, of course, at ArtScroll are responsible for it. Go to ArtScroll.com, order the book, More Food You Love. Make sure to use promo code RADIO24. Again, make sure to use promo code RADIO24. You know the rule. And they'll make sure to give you your free shipping and your major discount at ArtScroll.com. Rory Weisberg, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
And we should mention you and Sarah Goldstein put this together. And from what I hear, it was a very effective team. I hope you enjoyed the process.
Absolutely. I would never do it any other way at this point. She is such a pleasure to work with. Super creative and just a pleasure of a person. Fantastically talented stylist and photographer. And she's a chef in her own right. So she was able to take my concepts of cooking and really help me expand the horizons of flavors and options and variety in a way that I felt sort of limited by after writing my first cookbook, plus additional, you know, recipes that I just written for Instagram and kosher.com and whatnot. So I had about a repertoire of about 350 to 400 recipes of my own, and I felt like I'm done. Like there's nowhere more, there's nowhere else to go. Excuse me, there's nowhere else to go. But people wanted more after I wrote my first cookbook. There was just, you know, at first the responses were just like, this is so amazing. This is so such a game changer. It's so fantastic to have healthy options that my family will eat, that I can serve right at my Shabbos table, that everyone enjoys, and people wanted more.
I'm laughing because I've heard some of the reaction to the book, and I'm sure this is not foreign to you, and you and I discussed this the last time you were on, and that is when people hear about cookbooks that are food preparation books that are off the beaten path, their first reaction is, oh, I'm not going to enjoy eating any of that. You know, it's all got to be right, know, straight down the middle in terms of the stuff they grew up with and in terms of the stuff they're used to. And I was why I was going to say to you when I opened up and said, if you want a great Hanukkah present, I would assume that in the dessert section, there's plenty of wonderful Hanukkah treats, even if they are in the living full and free category.
100%. That's our goal.
By the way, Rory's responsible for that, the living full and free. So it's not just a book and it's not just recipes. It's actually a lifestyle. And I know we did a lot of this last time, but you got to do this for the people who sometimes get frustrated out there, especially this time of year with Hanukkah coming in the winter months in general. People always think they put on more weight and eat less healthy than usual. What's the message? You had an epiphany. You described it to us on the air. What's the message after now being on this side of the issue for so long?
Well, you know, I think it's really about gaining health. I really focus a lot on gaining health. I'm not a coach that specializes in weight loss, but just really living a healthy, you know, really expansive lifestyle where you're really focused on taking care of yourself. And I think that mindset shift is really, really the game changer. And realizing that the way we treat our bodies matter, and what we put in our bodies gives our body different instructions, and outside of food as well, you know, the way we sleep, if we're on our phones till 2 a.m, or, you know, not getting much movement, like our bodies have a set of instructions that work. I always give this example of a light bulb. Let's say you go to if you go to a store and you see a beautiful light fixture, like, oh, this looks so good in my big giant dining room. But the light fixture says it only can handle 80 watts. And you're like, yeah, I know, but I need 200 watts for this room. Well, guess what's going to happen? At a certain point, the light bulb is going to break or the light fixture is going to break. Right. There's a capacity. And I think that that understanding, when we go in just with that acceptance of my body needs certain things to run at its best. And then the question, is that really of a value to me? Is that important to me? And then making those changes happen. My goal was for people who are looking for that to really make it doable. And I found that it's not sustainable when there's not variety and super delicious food.
And that's why it's such a big book, frankly.
Exactly. That's why there's two of them. That's why I made a sequel, because that was the goal, to show people you do not have to be deprived. You do not have to be bored. Your family will love this food also. It's a lifestyle that's doable and delicious. And that was really what I was hoping to bring to the table. Like, I cut down my coaching load over the last 4 years dramatically so that I could put my efforts into writing this book, because before that I was coaching in groups and I had a much, you know, I took on a lot more clients at a time, but I kept finding the same thing was happening. People needed options.
All right, so one
second.
And
that's why I decided to take the time.
I got to stop you for a second, because there are plenty of people listening who, you know, they're going to roll their eyes or, you know, be skeptical and say, yeah, you know, it happened to work for Rory. She's the exception. I've tried to change my mindset. I've tried to deal with my psychological profile and it never works. And I think the majority of people say that. So is there a secret? I get it that, you know, that you were able to develop a system and now pass it on to many others. And of course, those who are interested in this book are going to find it priceless. But what about the average person who feels, hey, Rory, I could never do it?
I think that they need support. I think, and that's why a lot of people do come for coaching. I think people need accountability. They need encouragement. We do wax and wane. We do have situations that throw us off kilter. And just to realize that's okay. It's not about a straight line. You know, that whole zigzag of up and down on like a chart when someone is alive, like you see in the hospital, if there's a name for it, I can't think of it at the moment. But that means you're alive. Being alive means there's ups and downs, and that's okay. But if someone is trying and they're really, they want it, like I want this, and they're not able to do it on their own, so don't do it on your own. I didn't do this on my own. I mean, my philosophy I can kind of put together, but I've had support along the way to support me in achieving my goals. So I think it is doable if someone really wants it and then realizes, oh, I'm trying on my own, it's not working, then get support to have that accountability and to help you work through what your roadblocks might be.
So if someone's saying to themselves, oh no, if I get a book like Rory's, I'll never have a good burger or a good Chinese dish or a good chullet or a great dessert or a fantastic hearty soup, you would argue with them that in fact you have pages and pages filled with those categories.
Yeah, the abundance of delicious food, there's like over literally between the two books over 500 recipes, so there's really no shortage, and there's every type of food anyone could really want. But what I want to say to that also is I really believe unless somebody has a serious digestive metabolic disorder that really, really dangerously limits them, or the consequences are just too big to veer off their path of healthy eating. But for a generally healthy person, I actually believe the goal is 80-20, and that 80% of the time they're eating this wonderful, healthy food. And yeah, 20% of the time, go out and get the real deal and enjoy it with confidence and gusto. And the lifestyle is so sustainable that the veer back on is so easy, and especially when that mindset is there that you're doing it with permission.
So one second, I mean, and you've been very personal on the air with us, I don't think this is out of line to ask you, are you an 80-20 person, or you're not able to sustain that?
So 80-20 in my realm of what I can eat. For me personally, I actually recently, this is pretty cool, but I was diagnosed years ago that I did not actually have celiac, but had other autoimmune diseases that made it pretty indicative that it would be best to stay off gluten. But I was recently tested again because I had ventured back into spelt sourdough for years, and I actually just got retested, and I actually do have celiac, so that is pretty interesting. And for me, certain foods would not be worth it by choice. I can have anything,
right,
but the reaction I get to dairy or gluten would never be worth it to me. Sugar, on the other hand, I would absolutely, I know it's not like the healthiest, but it's not going to affect me the way that eating dairy or gluten would.
So should I worry about you when I'm enjoying a caramel-filled, sugar-topped sufganiya this coming week?
No, you enjoy it, but I'll be having my grain-free, gluten-free, baked one very happily, because I know that I'm taking care of my body, and I found a way to enjoy the things that I really want in a way that, like I say in the book, loves me back. And I always tell people, if the regular caramel-filled sufganiya, you can have that and still feel good, maybe not as good, but the consequences aren't intense.
Right.
I totally believe enjoy it, but within balance. Like, that doesn't mean you're going to have four sufganiyas a day and just have a normal breakfast, have a good healthy lunch and a sufganiya. Like, find that balance. Keep your blood sugar balanced throughout the day. It's not going to affect you. It's not going to hit as hard.
Right. And you would argue that the sufganiya you described that you're having is in fact tasty and delicious, and the skeptics should realize that.
It's absolutely tasty and delicious. If somebody's taste buds are completely hijacked, and that is what happens when somebody eats a standard American diet, the standard American diet actually puts so much sugar into things that it actually hijacks our taste buds. So when somebody is so used to eating those foods, the healthier variations of them actually don't taste good enough to a palate like that initially. But I actually talk about this in my book of how to reduce sugar and adjust your taste buds over time, that really does shift. And I've seen it hundreds, maybe thousands of times over at this time throughout my career of people who found things to not taste good or not good enough.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, 3-4 weeks later, they're like, this is amazing. What was I thinking?
And the best example, of course, is wine, where people, are sweet wine drinkers for decades. And all of a sudden, they're trying to adjust their taste buds. And eventually, if they give it a chance, they'll enjoy the drier wines and the more sophisticated ones.
But it takes time to get there. Yeah, that's a great example. Absolutely.
And again, having just finished my own book, I shouldn't make assumptions about yours, but I'm assuming that you felt it was important to load up these books with a massive number of recipes. And this is a really heavy book for that reason. In other words, you have to hit people between the eyes and show them that in the fish category, there's not just four choices. And in the breakfast category, there's 25 varieties and not 5 varieties. Right? That's a big part of it, right?
Yeah, no, it's actually interesting you're mentioning that, because Reverend Zadowitz, originally, when I first came up my first book, he said, Roy, why are you giving so many recipes? You only need to give 120, give 150. Right. Why are you giving 230-something recipes? And I said, because that's the message. I need the message to hit home. Like, there's so much. So rather than splitting all this up into 3 or 4 books, that was part of the message. It's like, it's so expansive. It's so abundant.
So if tonight, it's Thursday, if tonight I had your overnight Yapchik Pailasha Cholent, what would be my reaction?
You would be like, this is amazing. I've had Bachram over at our house. We host a lot of my son, especially when he was living at home. Now he's married in Israel, but we used to have guys all the time. And they would come, and they loved coming. There was never, they loved my food. They loved how everything tasted. But I would get the comment over and over, Mrs. Weisberg, there's just something about when we eat at your house, we leave and we don't feel gross. And it's like that heavy post-Shabbos feeling. But the food is Hamish, and it's Shabbosic, and it's absolutely delicious.
So even the teenager who's, on their regular diet and just visits you for one meal will notice the difference?
Yeah. I had a relative over for Shabbos about a month ago, and I made this beautiful, I make beautiful Shabbos meals with all the courses and all of the options, but everything is made with clean ingredients and it's healthy. And by the end of Shabbos, this relative came over to me and she says, I can't get over how different I feel. I usually, spend an hour in the bathroom after Shabbos and I feel great. And she said, at the same time, I didn't feel like I missed anything. And that's the hit. That's the trick. That was my goal. And I'm so grateful that people feel it. I get feedback constantly. Same messaging. I can't get over it.
Well, if the broccoli burger's as good as it looks, then, I'd be more than happy to try it. What about people who are egg-free or nut-free? Do you address that in the book?
Yes. Actually, in the first book, I was really just more focused on general healthy ingredients and gluten-free. Mostly gluten-free was the biggest focus. And then there was so much feedback from people who have nut allergies, egg allergies. And also, surprisingly, I got a lot of feedback from people who are more vegetarian, vegan, who felt that, they wanted more variety. So I really tried to address all of that in the second book. So in any recipe, and anywhere I could try to give an egg replacement or an egg-free option, we did. Same with nuts. We would replace with seeds. I can't say every single time there's a nut option, there's an alternative. We couldn't figure it out for every single one, but the majority we did. And we incorporated an entire vegan section that is just so creative and so delicious, which is also amazing for the 9 days for people who don't eat dairy or just don't want endless dairy and fish.
Right.
And it's also just great for once in a while when you just want a lightened up meal. And some of them even can be used as like Shabbos appetizers. So there's just so much variety, just trying to cater to the different needs because health looks different for many different people. And I respect that. I don't believe in a one size fits all. So I wanted to try to incorporate so many options to make it user friendly for so many people.
And I don't know if you agree with this or not. And with the meats and the chickens, it might be different. But take the salad section, the soup section. It looks to me, not that I'm an expert at anything other than eating these items, but it looks to me like it's just a small adjustment. Like your salads look like, you know, other balabatasha salads out there. Just, you know, a small adjustment. Take this out. Don't use this. Put this instead. It's and the soups as well. It seems like that's, you know, that's really the whole thing. If people think that preparing these meals are a complete revolution, sometimes it's just minor adjustments which make them feel better once they've eaten it.
So I think that what you're describing is exactly kind of what makes me stand out in the health world. There are many other health cookbooks out there that scream healthy. Like they're just healthy looking and they don't feel like the way from people eat. Right. And it was just, it made it so not desirable. And that was what I wanted to do when I changed my diet and lifestyle 18 years ago, but then even more so 12 years ago, 15 years ago, like it took it to the next level. And I really decided like, I need this to work for my family, but they're not eating like steamed asparagus and like, you know, I don't know, like plain quinoa and basic salmon. Like that was just like, no, thank you. Like they're not going to eat that. So that was where I was like, okay, I've got to figure out how to take the ingredients that I know work, but make the food that they love and like meet, like marry them, somehow make this happen. And at first, I mean, my early recipes are pretty, they're definitely the more basic ones. But I got better and better over time. And again, that's why in book, for the second book, I'm like, okay, I need a chef. I need a much more developed, you know, educated chef who really like knew the ins and outs of cooking in a way that I just, you know, I'm just a home mom cook, you know, and Sarah just took it and went, I mean, it's just amazing what we were able to do together. So it's just together, the set just literally leaves you with endless options of meals. And we also have a snacks and drink section. There's just, it's so abundant, which is, I'm just so thrilled.
So you can have the baby lamb chops on page 196 and someone will feel differently than if they did their usual lamb chop routine.
So, you know, when it comes to a grilled meat, I mean, we're grilling it, we're making a really nice, you know, some herb topping on top, but it's also what you're going to pair it with.
Right.
So it's actually funny you're saying this because I just last night made a list of meal ideas that I want to promote, like educate on social media, like what to put with what. I came up with 94 dinners between the two books and also like what to pair with what that would just profile taste-wise, taste so good and be so delicious. And that's really the trick because very often you'll make a grilled lamb chop, which is a clean, you know, what do? You put some salt on it, put it on the grill, or, you know, even a plain grilled chicken. It's what people are serving with it that, you know, and the oils that people are using and the, you know, soy sauces and the barbecue sauces. That's really where you start to feel the difference is when you're using these clean ingredients, you're pairing your meat with a complex carb as opposed to a simple carb and a really, you know, deliciously health-made vegetable. Maybe you're throwing in a salad or a soup. You walk away from that meal feeling satisfied, not stuffed, and you feel the difference in your blood sugar. You feel in reaction like a few hours later, but you also feel digestively so different. And also just the quality ingredients, the quality oils is huge. It's a big game changer.
You making latkes for the Hanukkah party or not?
Yes, absolutely. And that you will find in book one. I don't remember the page, but it's in there. We have Yukon Gold latkes and Japanese sweet potato latkes, which are beyond delicious. And I also have a recipe for three different variations of vegetable. We call them fritters, but in essence, they're latkes that are more pan fried, not deep fried. So that's an even healthier option. So we always give options because, like I said, healthy means different to different people. And I want to meet people where they are. So if somebody wants a real deal latke, use Yukon Gold potatoes, use avocado oil. Instead of using canola oil and white potatoes, it's still so much better. You want to improve it even more, use a Japanese sweet potato. You want to make it even better, pan fry instead of, you know, deep fry. So there's variations of what health, of what better means based on where a person is. And I really believe in meeting a person where they are.
And what's dessert at your Hanukkah party?
haven't made my menu yet, but I actually recently for Shabbos made the new chocolate pie with the pomegranate seeds that's in the second book, and it was, my family went crazy over it. The chocolate bark is the easiest dessert you will ever make, and it is such a crowd pleaser. Like, it literally takes a minute to make it. You don't bake it. It's so easy. So that's another really, really great one. But I will be making donuts for sure, my baked grain-free donuts. And my kids, actually last night, my daughter was like, Mom, you are definitely making the spelt sourdough donuts. I'm like, okay. It's just, that one's a lot of work, but I'll do it.
Sourdough in general, everyone says, is a lot of work. And on the pomegranate seeds, by the way, I can't get over how much I enjoy them, even plain. It must be one of the healthiest snacks out there.
Yes, they're wonderful. Hashem made a lot of great healthy snacks. And that's another thing. People are like, why don't you talk about fruit? I'm like, well, to me, that's like a given, you know. But actually, something interesting that I did do in the second book was in the snack section, we have a whole spread of store-bought and like more like natural snacks, like fruits and vegetables, and how to pair store-bought snacks to have what I call the full effect to balance your blood sugar by combining a complex carb with a protein or fat. And I gave different brands of different products that are really healthy that you can buy, because that's the complaint I get a lot, is it's so much work. So that I thought would be a really useful guide for people. I do with my clients, so I thought to share it in the book as well.
How's the book doing so far?
I mean, thank God we sold over 12,000 copies in the first week. I haven't got an update, but I'm getting tons of feedback from people who are using it and loving it. And especially the people who were the ones requesting it, you know, my clients and the following who wanted more. I mean, I'm like I want to make everything, or my entire Shabbat menu was made between the two books, and it was so amazing. Like, it's just, it's so, feels so wonderful to get the feedback. So I appreciate those that take the time to give us that feedback, because they think it does, like, oh, she probably hears it all the time. I'm like, no, it really feels good. So I do want to like publicly thank those people who take the time, because it really means a lot.
Rory Weisberg, she and Sarah Goldstein are responsible for More Food You Love That Loves You Back. That's Rory from Living Full and Free. Check it all out at artscroll.com. Search Rory Weisberg. Search More Food You Love. Buy the book. Make sure to use promo code RADIO24 for your free shipping and major discount. Great Hanukkah gift. More Food You Love That Loves You Back. Check it out at artscroll.com. Rory, I take this opportunity to thank you and wish you a happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, and same to you, and thanks for having me on and giving me the time. I appreciate it so much.
A pleasure. JM in the AM with a reminder. Our end-of-year campaign is in the home stretch of the home stretch, and we need your help getting over the final hurdle. We are less than $18,000 away from our goal to keep great programming like this around, to show support for what we do on a daily basis, and we would love for you to participate with us. FJBUnity.org. FJBUnity.org.